This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, a little hot, a little warm, but, you know, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
We've got to have a positive attitude.
I keep waiting for you to start to slip a little bit, like, well, it's going to be okay, but it might be like another couple months until we see some rain or maybe things cool down, or that line keeps getting pushed back a little bit further each week, I think. Wow.
Well, we cannot lose our sense of humor.
That's true.
If you lose that, it's over. You know? I mean, when it's 103, 105 out, you've got to, pretend like everything is wonderful. and it's going to turn around. The rain's coming, folks. The rain is coming, but I don't know when.
Boy, you're qualified to be the weatherman now. Look at you.
I am. We know the rain's going to come, because if it doesn't, there ain't going to be anything left in Texas.
No.
You know, there's not going to be any grass left. There's going to be a lot fewer houses. And the solar panels are catching on fire now at the bank. I mean, times are tough.
That's literally, right? Like the solar panel on
top
of the building.
Literally. The Plano Bank, the solar panels caught on fire this week. They got too hot.
Wow.
And caused a fire. The fire department had to come put that out before the whole building went.
I did not know that was even possible.
I didn't know it either, but I do now, that if it gets too hot, those solar panels can be a fire hazard.
Wow.
But who would think that could ever get that hot that they would spark a fire?
Yeah. I mean, they're designed to get, to capture as much energy and get as hot as possible. They're sitting right on top of the building, right in the dead heat of the day, you know, right in the direct sunlight. I mean, that's the whole goal. And for them to get so hot that they catch on fire, I didn't even know that was even possible until now.
That's right. And now the riding lawnmowers, they won't let them use those because they can spark a fire like that one the other day. That lawnmower that caught the houses on fire burned 26 houses down.
Jeez.
You know? So the heat can spark a fire. And it just doesn't take much right now to set anything off.
Yeah.
So, and they say there's a total of 504,000 acres have been burned.
Really?
So, yes, everybody has got to be very, very cautious about fires right now. Anything that would cause a fire, they need to not be doing it. And a lot of towns are running out of water.
Really?
A couple of towns are right at the end of the water that they've got.
Oh, my word. Is there a plan? Is there anything they can do, or just when it runs out, it runs out?
Well, I haven't heard yet. It's one of the little towns up here, and they said they just had a tiny bit of water left, and they're going to have to get it from some other town.
Oh, wow.
Because they don't have any. Yeah, they're out of water.
Man, and you know what that's going to do. As soon as there's a demand for water to be brought in from other places, the prices of those are going to go through the roof. So that's not even going to be an easy fix.
No, because they obviously don't have another water well for their city, and they probably need to drill another one. They're going to have to do something or truck water in. And can you imagine a little city trucking water in?
No. Jeez.
I can't either.
I've just never heard. When's the last time you even had rain? Can you even remember? It was, what, a couple of months?
I cannot remember. It's been so long ago. I know what rain looks like, but I just haven't seen any of it.
At this
point,
it's
been a long time since I've seen any water.
You've read about it in books.
That's right. I read about it in books. And my yard tells me we do not have water. The sprinklers are not handling it. The sprinklers are not doing a good job. I'm losing bushes and flowers by the minute.
Wow.
So pretty soon I won't have to worry about it.
Wow.
There won't be anything to water.
You're almost getting to the point where we need to just put down some AstroTurf, some plastic flowers, and we'll just call it a day.
Yeah, you remember in the 50s they had plastic flowers. I've seen it in yards, and I hope we don't have to go to that. But if I do, I'm going to get me some of those pink flamingos and put those out there.
Oh, nothing but high class.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get real high class.
We had a neighbor once, and this is really mean, but we didn't really care for him very much. We had unflattering nicknames, but we started to tell him really hideous things to do in their yard, like putting in plastic flowers and things like that. He ended up putting in plastic deer.
Oh, my gosh.
By the time he was done, it was the most hideous thing we've ever seen in our lives.
And then you had to live next door to him.
Yeah. It started out as a game. Hey, let's see if he'll do this and see what we'll tell him. And his yard was full of plastic animals, plastic plants, plastic everything. It was so terrible. We couldn't believe he actually did it. And then the game kind of backfired because we had to live next to it.
So, yeah, did he paint his house a terrible color?
No.
Didn't go that far.
Not
okay.
On the outside, no. We kind of learned our lesson by then.
and quit encouraging him.
Yeah.
Oh, like, my gosh.
We're the one that are paying the price.
Yeah, can you imagine living next door to that monstrosity?
Oh, my goodness.
And, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Wow. And I'll tell you this, I know how we are, how I am about Halloween candy. I saw a report this week that there may be a shortage of Halloween candy, and I think it has something to do with what's going on in Ukraine and supplies for actual, like, Hershey's candy. And so there may be an actual shortage of supplies for that. I've heard that there may be some shortages of beer that start to take hold in the next couple of months. It's a big thing for a lot of people. There's like has something to do with shortage of barley and hops and all that stuff. So
the moonshiners up in the hills in Arkansas can take care of that. They'll just start making moonshine for people. And I'll bet they could make beer because they have hops probably and all that.
Yeah.
And it'd be a new deal. They'll come out of the mountains and they'll sell it by the buckets.
Oh, they could make a fortune.
It won't be a problem. They'll come to the rescue.
Maybe they'll make it rain moonshine and kill two birds with one stone.
That's right. Well, and I want everybody to go up and see the clouds. If they do this, we might get some water. We might get some rain.
Oh.
We need it so desperately.
Yes.
But I don't see anything that says we're fixing to get any rain.
Nothing at all. Nothing. No.
And the lakes are lower. And, you know, there's been people that, down on the rivers, and you know how I love the rivers in South Texas. I'm crazy about them for tubing, for just going out there and getting in the rivers. The algae side is so dangerous, it's ridiculous. A guy went in swimming. He's near death after swimming down there.
Oh, Lord.
There was a doggy that went out in that one lake, and he passed away immediately.
Really?
Within an hour. Yeah, so some of it, the water is not fresh now. It's not moving, and you know water has got to keep moving in order to be fresh. So some of it, by not having any rain this summer, is really affecting the water.
Oh, man, I didn't even hear about that.
Yeah.
Wow, there's something you didn't even... All these different effects from what's going on are so strange. And it seems like it all kind of started, was it last winter? Or maybe the winter before?
Last winter when all the plants died because we had that horrible freeze.
Yes, yeah.
And everything came forward, and we were having rain and rain. Everything was working, and then the rain stopped, and all this other developed. The heat came. The heat has not subsided. And I don't remember in my lifetime ever going through a summer where every day is over 100 degrees.
I know it.
We have a heat advisory every day.
Wow.
So, you know, we've got to get this heat down and get some rain in here.
Jeez. And imagine the because I know that, you know, ranchers, you know, having cattle, that takes a toll on them. And I don't know, do you think it's even recoverable? I mean, people are having to sell animals.
Their cattle, yes. A lot of them are selling their cattle.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you can recover after something like this.
Some of the ranchers said they will never recover.
Jeez.
So it's, you know, it's a bad time for ranchers.
Wow. What about the llamas? How are they doing? Are they faring okay?
Well, the llamas seem to be holding up. They're going to the water every day, and they're laying in the hay. They're just flat laying in it. I don't know if it's cool. I don't know. But they're going up there to that large brown bale of hay and just getting in it. They're just laying down in it.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's odd.
And as I said last week, hay is really high.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen it this high in my life.
Jeez.
So, and then a lot of them said because of the high cost of fertilizer, there'll be some kinds of hay will not be available this winter.
Really?
They're not even going to plant it.
Oh, my. Oh, yeah. Wow. It just seems like this is having such a ripple effect in areas that maybe, you know, it started out as, okay, it's hot, it's dry, you know, we have some things going on, some situations, prices of things are rising a little bit, I'm being generous. and then, you know, we have all these other situations, and if you think about landscapers, you know, it's like they've got nothing to mow, they may be going out of business, ranchers may be going out of business, you think of all these different things that may be affected by this, and it's just the longer it goes on, it seems like the worse it gets for more different sectors of people.
Right. And of course, you know, on the bright side, we know it'll be over. We know it's going to get back to normal. We just don't know when.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's what you have to think about, is how long do we have to go through this before we get everything back, you know, to normal.
Yeah.
Because I would love to report everything is just, you know, lots of rain and prices are down, and that would be a wonderful thought.
Yeah. I have seen gas prices are coming down, but and that's great for a lot of people, but it'll take a while before we see effect in, like, grocery prices or, you know, any kind of goods that have to get shipped.
Yeah, groceries are not coming down right now. They are high.
Yeah.
Everybody I talked to said, oh, my gosh, can you believe what things cost?
I know.
And, and we still have all these restaurants going out, and, you know, that a sports store, it's not here in Texas, but it's all over the East. They've been in business 40 years, and they've closed their doors.
Really?
They said, we're closing. That's it. Simple.
Oh, geez.
And Geico is closing all their insurance stores in California.
I saw that. What's that about?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's because of the taxes out there, the high cost of doing business in California.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they just said, it's over.
Yeah, there's been so many people have left the state. It's like, you know, a lot of them are coming here. Some of them are going to, where are there? There's a couple other states that people are going to as well, I think.
A lot of them are going to Florida. You know, that big company out of Chicago, they're a $28 billion company. They're moving their headquarters to Florida. They said the crime is just, they can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
And people don't realize if they don't have police, if they don't patrol their streets and stop the criminals will take over, and you won't be able to make a living there.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
You know, I mean, the police protect us. They keep the criminals at bay. They put them in jail. And yet, you know, some places, they don't want the police. They've got this mentality is we don't need them. And they don't know that's what's kept them safe all these years.
Yeah, yeah.
And the crime is so bad in a lot of the northern states, like you say, people are moving out. Their businesses cannot survive in that climate. And then you've got the homeless on top of that.
I know.
And You know, they say if we don't get rid of the homeless, people won't come downtown to shop.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. They'll just want to avoid it for safety reasons. So
absolutely.
I mean, it's cool that people are, a lot of major corporations are coming here to Texas and they're, you know, finding a new home. But boy, it's just, I don't know. I don't know. We're in some very strange times, that's for sure. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
It just seems like there's a gigantic shift in a lot of different areas. How are we on, like what's the temperature of like, the stock market, money in general? What are you seeing in that realm?
Well, you know, the stock market went up this week. You know, it's been down so bad. I know the fallout isn't over. I know it's still got more to go. But this particular week, it did go up. And, you know, there's just so many things. Different companies, you know, some are making a profit, some are not. Of course, the oil sector is where the profit is. That seems to me like that's, you know, oil is up. One of the companies said they had made $5
billion. Ooh, wow.
And a lot of them have made tremendous profit. So those companies are okay. It seems like the companies that are hurting are in different things, like they're in clothing or they're in, you know, something like that. And those companies reporting are not making money, as you know. A lot of them are just barely hanging on. Bed and Bath Beyond, their stock is down. We don't know if they're going to make it. There's a lot of them that they say by Christmas they'll be gone. A lot
really?
Of them are going to be gone. Yes.
Wow.
So it's going to shake out a lot of these companies. And these are public companies. These are not private companies. So, you know, a lot of them are going to be gone, and the stockholders are going to be left holding the bag.
Well, what is it? Is it supply chains to make goods? Is it, you know, transportation to get, you know, finished products to stores? Is it less demand? Is it, you know, just prices of
people aren't spending? Well, the demand is less because all these people were in big shopping centers. The demand for shopping centers is just almost over. People are doing it online. Online is huge now. I mean, it's really huge. And like Target, you know, they couldn't get their stuff in. It was slow getting here. And now they're having to discount all those things because they didn't get here on time. And they say Target is actually up in the brands they're carrying. They're up in that.
Really?
And, you know, Kohl's has been up for sale, you know. And it's just, I guess we've got too many of some kinds of stores. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But I know the ones that are public, a lot of them are hurting. And they say by winter, a lot of them will be gone.
Wow. That's not good because as we go into the holiday season, that's when a lot of these stores, I mean, that's what we it's called Black Friday because that's like when a lot of these stores and these retailers start making a profit. And if things are kind of going the other way, it seems like, I guess we're headed for is it something to be concerned about? Or are we like headed for a really
bad
time?
Well, I think we always have to be concerned. If you're 100,000 at risk, in other words, if everything you have is in the stock market, you've got a tremendous risk. You've got the upside possibility, sure, of a lot of money. But then, you know, if that thing does pancake and we do finish going into a recession, you're not going to have near as much money as you started out with, you know. Then we had a stockbroker here in Texas. He took all these elderly people's money, $54 million.
Really?
And I'm hoping and praying they're going to get their money back. But they convicted the old boy this week. He told them all this was guaranteed, not to worry. He took their money. Their money disappeared into whatever he wanted to do. And they were all elderly. And I'm going, oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy.
And people, you know, they should check their statements, make sure the money is in there, make sure those stocks are really there, and that it's not one he drew up and just printed it out. You need to make sure it's from the company, not from the broker. It needs to be from that company if you're doing business with them. Gee. So always err on the side of caution. I'm hoping that the company will have to stand good for all that. Because he worked for a company, and usually a company will stand good for that if a broker goes out here and does something this bad, you know.
Would they have the resources to take care of it?
Yes, all these brokerage companies are huge.
Okay.
They are huge. I mean, they've got billions and billions in assets.
Wow.
So I don't even know which brokerage company. It didn't tell that in the news release. It just told what they were going to do to him.
Wow.
And that it was seniors' money, and that they trusted him, and that it was $54 million.
Jeez.
I mean, I can't even count that high.
You know, I know you talk about how, you know, a lot of times seniors will be taken advantage of, but it's just like here and every, it's almost like it's cyclical. It's like here comes another cycle, and it's like here's another story. It's heartbreaking to see that.
It is, and I'm just hoping that that they make them 100% well, because you know, I think if they'd been cautious, I think they just gave him all their money and didn't ever ask any questions. They didn't say, you know, let me see a statement. I don't know if he was sending statements out and they were phony. I gather that's how he did it, because none of them knew that their money was gone.
Wow.
And that's a huge amount. Oh, and he took it over a several year period. And I don't know how he did it or anything like that. He just said that it was $54 million.
Jeez. And eventually, how did he get caught? Did somebody, was there like an audit or what?
I figure somebody said, give me my money.
Oh.
And of course, he couldn't do that. He couldn't do it. That money was vanished. It's gone. You know, he'd already stolen it all. So I think that's what happened. I'm not sure, because I know the company didn't just catch it. You know, something had to happen to trigger these people suddenly waking up.
Yeah.
And they suddenly woke up and they discovered that the money was gone. And then the feds came in and charged him and went through all the books and saw how much was gone.
Jeez.
But, you know, these brokerage companies need to have a tight rein on their employees and know what they're doing. You know if their trades are real, if the money's in those accounts, and they should have been auditing. And an audit, I think, would have showed up. I don't know how he covered it up, but I know it's gone.
Wow.
And they're left holding the bag. And I think the brokerage company is liable for that, and I think they'll have to pony up the money.
Jeez.
But yeah. It'll take time for them to get it back.
Wow. It's almost like these brokers, sometimes they have too much they can do. There's not enough checks and balance systems. Is that a good way to put it?
That's what I'm thinking. Hmm. There is not near enough checks and balances. There should be someone looking over it. There should be a second person that looks after it to see that it's there. And I don't know how they weren't checking there, unless he made up fake statements and sent them out showing their money was there, because it was not there. And they all went to court and testified against the guy and told what he'd done and that they had trusted him and their money was now gone.
You know, and that's devastating, especially when you're like a senior and you're kind of getting to that place where, you know, there's not really a whole lot of wiggle room. If something goes wrong, you don't have a whole lot of recovery space. And so when people all of a sudden lose, you know, that kind of money, you know, sometimes people have to go back to work. Sometimes people, you know, either can't retire if they're, you know, a couple of years away. And then, I mean, literally the whole bottom of everything they've worked their entire life for just kind of falls out. And then there's not a lot that can be done. So hopefully the...
Well, and they're turning their money over to someone else.
Yeah.
They're not overseeing it. That's one thing about our investment. You know, the client is in charge of his money. They're the ones that call the shot. They're the ones that say, do this or do that. And then we use, as you know, a third person. to watch their accounts. The bank is responsible. The bank oversees it. They're the trustee on it. If they'd had a trustee at that brokerage company overseeing this, this would never have happened, because that's what a trustee's for, is to protect you and make sure your money's always there and where it should be. And with a brokerage account, you know, you're relying on somebody other than yourself, and somebody else is taking care of it, and you're at their mercy. And this is one time when being at someone else's mercy costs people a lot of money.
Yeah, you can't always trust people when it comes to, you know, money, because you know there's a lot of greed involved with it, and there's a lot of...
There is, because there's a lot... they have access. They can take your stocks and put it in penny stocks. They can put it in good stuff, and you'll know it. Or they can abscond with it, because they have access to your account 100%. They can move that whole money out if they so desire.
Yeah.
And this old guy did desire, and he did it. You know, he took their money and ran with it. And it may take a year for them to get their money back. I don't know how long it'll take.
Wow.
But I just can't imagine. $54 million.
Unreal.
Down the tubes.
Unreal. Just like that. Boom, you wake up and it's all gone. You know, and there's so much freedom that brokers have that they can, like, I know we've joked before and said, you know, they could literally take your money and go buy a car if they wanted to. It's just, there's just, you're just, and they're, a lot of times they're doing things that are not in the investor's interest. They're doing things that are in the broker's interest, because they get fees for each of those. And so that's how they make money. And it's all somewhat commission based and all that. But with a life settlement, none of that whole dynamic of, you know, do whatever you want to with it is taken out, because people choose which policies they want to get into. People see the documentation. You've got you got like the LE. You've got the page 14, or what used to be called page 14. There's tons of information and tons of documentation, and people have access to their account at any time. They can log in and see exactly where they are.
That's right. 24 hours a day. They can look at it. They know their money's there. They know what it's invested in. And then, you know, we've got every safety feature in the world, and brokerage houses should do the same thing. They should have safety features to keep a broker from going rogue and taking people's money. They should have a second person overseeing those accounts, you know, not just one person. And you'd think at the end of the month, they would be looking over what everybody had supposedly spent and what they had invested people in, and see if it's really there. Yeah. I don't know how they hid it for 4 years. You know, it was 4 years at least that this money was sent somewhere else, you know, not where it was supposed to be. And they didn't notice it. It was a small town. And so, you know, they knew the old guy.
Wow.
It wasn't one of these New York deals. And usually it's just in New York City, you know, where all that happens. And for it to happen right here in Texas is not a good thing.
Yeah. And it's especially shocking when you know the person, you know, and they know you and they look you in the eye, and it's just like, you know, oh yeah, we're friends, and you know, we know each other. We have a personal type of a relationship. I went to school with him. I've known him for 10 years, 20 years, whatever it may be. You know, that's when you really feel taken advantage of. And it's a shame that people do that too.
Well, and you know, and I, you know how I feel about older people investing in the stock market. You know, they're not quite as sharp. They're not. They don't know what to look for, and you know, it's. I think it's maybe not the safest place for them to have their money. I would say, you know, in my opinion, if I was that age, and wasn't sure about how the investments work, how the stock market works, what the guy's doing, and if you don't understand all that, don't do it. Don't be in the stock market unless you're really sharp, unless you're on your A game, okay? Because it's hard sometimes for older people to know what stocks they've got. You know, even somebody 50 years old, sometimes I'll say to them, well, tell me about your portfolio. And they say, oh, I don't know. Here's the statement. I don't know how to read it. And that's if you have trouble reading a statement or have a hard time understanding mutual funds or stocks or all this, you probably shouldn't be doing it.
Wow. Yeah.
You probably should be in something simple. I think older people should be in annuities, I'll just tell you.
Oh, really?
I think they should be in annuities because annuities are safe. Nobody can jack with that money. Once you do an annuity, it's set. You're okay. It's between you and the life insurance company at that point. So you know that nobody can steal your money. Nobody can say you're invested when you're not. And it takes all the play out. There's nobody can go in there and mess up with your account.
There's plenty of transparency.
Think about that. If you're older, they cannot mess with your account. They can't take money out of your account. Nobody can but you.
Wow.
And so it's the safest thing for seniors. I think it would be a safe place for seniors. If they're 75 and up, they should have that in annuities.
And annuities are separate
from
the
annuity
stocks.
Companies. Even annuity companies at a certain point won't even let you invest in them. They say, no, they're too old. We don't think it's good for them. And so at that point, you can't even do an annuity.
Really?
So there's, oh, absolutely. They have all kinds. Let me tell you something. If you do annuities for people at a certain age, the insurance company is going to check and recheck it. Oh, my gosh. Because they're like I am about investments with older people. I know at 80, they would never issue one.
Really? Never knew that.
Because and we've got people that have had annuities with us for 20 years, and now they are in their 80s, you know. But their money's always been safe. Nobody's ever stolen a dime of it. They take money out every year, and they're comfortable with annuities. And annuities are the safest thing for people as they get older. But then even that, when you get to a certain age, the insurance company won't take it. They say no. They're too old even for annuities because they're afraid they don't know everything they're doing. So at a certain age, annuity company said, we're not sure their mind is sharp enough even to be doing annuities. And then with us, what I like is everybody makes their own investment. They call the shots. It's their money. They say, okay, put it in this or put it in that or do this. We had a large maturity this week.
Oh.
Richard Dimmer, he's a doctor. We did this a year ago, by the way, and he has passed away. It's a $2 million policy that matured.
Wow, that's huge.
That is a big policy. And this was supposed to have been a three-year policy. It came in 1 year.
Really? That's...
Yes, 1 year.
That's fast.
He had rectal cancer and colon cancer. He was 63 years old when we did this. We did it July the 30th of last year, and he died July 31st.
Oh, wow. Almost a year to the day.
Yeah, and it's a Mutual of Omaha policy. There's about 20 people in this policy. And on an $80,000 investment, they're going to get back $108,000.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, very nice. There's a 36% profit in 1 year. One of my clients has got $100,000 in it. They're getting back $136,000. So there's all kinds of profit here. On $80,000, they're getting back $108,000. Yeah, so lots of profit. Came in way early. It's a great deal. $2 million. This week, that was wonderful. And then two policies have gotten to the bank, two maturities. Joel Knoffenberg, both of his policies are in the bank, in everybody's account. And they made good money on that. We did that in 19, and they made 26% on that.
Is this one of them that you were talking about last week that you said were fixing to hit the bank?
Yes.
Okay.
That's right. And it was a pancreatic cancer. And you know, pancreatic cancer always comes in early. And it was they figured he was going to die in 26 months. I knew, everybody knew that wasn't going to happen because pancreatic cancer is like a 12-month deal. You know?
Yeah.
It hardly ever goes over 12 months, and it didn't. You know, we did this, and, you know, he's already passed away.
If they typically come in so fast, why does like the LE kind of like go out a little bit further? Is it just as like a padding?
No, I just misread it. Like on demur, you know, they say 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
3 years for rectal cancer. That's not ever going to happen, I don't think. Because rectal cancer is so deadly. And, you know, he lived 1 year. They said 3 years.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen. It certainly didn't live that long. But we've got more maturities than we've ever had. We've got every week seems like we're getting a maturity, and this was a big one. I expect, you know, in August we'll have a lot more. And we're working on policies for everybody to get them in policies, to get them invested. Making money again. That's what we're here for, is to make them money, to make them look good, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what we're working on. It's more policies. We're bidding them. I think we're going to have a one that's coming back. I've got to count the days and see. But that's we need to remind people they can rescind. If they die, within 30 days of getting the money, they have to give us the money back. It goes back in your account, and we'll have to put you in something else. And it doesn't happen very often, but we've had two that have rescinded. This one, we've been notified it's rescinded. It's not finished yet, so we need to make sure that the date is right on it. We're checking the dates now. But this was a three-year policy. The person lived 30 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's close.
It was really close. I mean, if she just lived another 30 days, we would have gotten it. But we're not going to get it, looks like. As I said, it is going to rescind, and they'll have to give the money back. And we'll have to start over.
Hmm.
So that's just the way it goes.
And it's rare. Like you say, those types of things don't happen very often, but when, you know, it kind of cuts that close, and you don't even realize. I mean, you think you've got 3 years, and you don't, and then all of a sudden, you know, things happen. It doesn't happen very often, but when it does, everything just kind of gets reversed. Everything goes back in. People go in different policies, and you just kind of move forward. Not, you don't really miss much. You don't miss a beat at all.
That's right. So we just put them in a different policy. We'll start over, go from there. People are getting a lot of money in their accounts right now. We've had so many maturities, and I've noticed that there's several people that are in both policies that are coming in. So a lot of people are going to get two checks in their account, and that's a great thing. And one guy said this is the first maturity he had had since the COVID started. So he's really glad.
Oh, wow.
yeah. So people are glad for a lot of reasons. You know, they like the profit, they want their profit, they need it, and that's what this is. It's a conservative investment. You know, you're always going to get your principal, and if at all possible, you're going to make a profit, unless it's a policy that one of those old ones, and we're just thankful you're getting your money back on those, plus a little bit of interest. But these have all got great interest. They're making money on them. It's a good thing. And we just want to continue like this with low premiums and good profit.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. It's all about making money, balancing the numbers. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby, and your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And I apologize. I just looked down to the clock, and I realized we're a little bit later than normal for trivia, but we got in some good information. But usually around this time-ish, we take a break, and we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
It is great today. Are you familiar with the Royal Gorge Bridge in Colorado?
No, I don't think I am.
It's the tallest bridge in the world.
Really?
tallest bridge in the in America. And bridges are measured two or three ways: the longest, the tallest, the highest. In Texas, we've got the Fred Hartman Bridge. It goes across the Houston Ship Channel. The span is 1,250 feet. It's the tallest at 440 feet.
Wow.
But it's not even the highest bridge. The highest bridge in Texas is the Pecos High Bridge. It's 273 feet above the Pecos River. It's a football field straight up.
Wow.
Straight up.
That's cool.
You can imagine how tall that is.
Yeah.
But the highest bridge is the Royal Gorge. It's just shy of 1,000 feet high. If you've never seen a picture of it, you need to get a picture of it if you haven't ever been there. But without Texas, it wouldn't even be there.
Of course.
The Royal Gorge Bridge was a dream of Lon Piper of San Antonio. He stood on the edge of the gorge in 1928. And he said, "I would love to lay a bridge across it." I mean, he'd already built a bridge across the Rio Grande going into Mexico. It's a bridge to nowhere. It's just to give tourists a heart-stopping view that they couldn't get anywhere else in the world.
Wow.
And it is heart-stopping. If you get a picture of it, it'll show you how high that son of a gun is and how scary it is. It costs $350,000. Really? It took 2 years to build. They say today it would be $6
million. Wow.
Now, when it was finished, Piper owned the highest bridge in the world and would remain so for 72 years.
Oh, wow.
Now, he hired bridge and engineer George Cove Houston. He designed the Royal Gorge, and he was also the general contractor. It took 80 men to build it. It took 7 months, and nobody ever got hurt, and nobody was killed on the job, and it's the scariest bridge in the world.
Wow.
But it was built by Texans, owned by Texans. It spans the Arkansas River with Oregon timber for the deck. And this guy Cole went on to design and build a railroad that would take brave riders to the bottom of the gorge at a 45-degree angle.
Wow.
Now some idiots are doing gondolas above it, and there is a zip line.
Really?
You would have to have the courage of a lion, maybe two lions, to get on a zip line above the Royal Gorge.
Jeez.
I cannot imagine anybody I know that brave.
No.
Now then, in 1947, he sold the bridge to Texan Clint Murchison Sr., you know, a famous Texas family. Mm-hmm. Now, old Clint bought it sight unseen as an investment. He never traveled to it and never walked across it.
Huh.
Instead, he set up the Royal Gorge Bridge Company, and he managed it from Dallas. And when Clint died, he passed it to his sons. Clint Murchison Jr., you remember, he founded and owned the Dallas Cowboys for 25 years.
Oh, yeah.
And John Murchison, his brother. Now, when John died, his wife, Lucille, inherited the bridge. She loved it. She traveled often just to see her bridge. I mean, can you imagine? She was a brave lady, let me tell you something.
No doubt.
Then for the past 21 years, Mike Bandera has served as the Royal Gorge Bridge General Manager. After 100 years, it's now reverted to Colorado ownership.
Yeah.
After Lucille passed away, she passed it on to her grandchildren, and they didn't want the Royal Gorge Bridge. I would have kept that in my family no matter what.
Yeah.
But it's a world-class bridge, financed, built, and managed by Texans.
Of course.
Royal Gorge Bridge, tallest bridge in America.
Wow.
And built in 1927. Can you imagine?
That is impressive.
It's the most impressive bridge in the world, and to thank Texans, looked at it and said, you know, I think I'll build a bridge there. I mean, I can't even imagine. Piper wanted a bridge. He said, all I need is a good bridge builder. I can't imagine they were this smart in 1927. I just, when I look at it, I'm aghast.
Yeah.
I look at that thing and go, you've got to be kidding. I wouldn't go walk across that for all the money in China.
No way. Not a chance. Maybe I'm just naive. I don't know. I've just never thought of, like, bridges as an investment that becomes like a commodity. I've just never thought of.
Oh yeah,
you just.
I mean,
drive.
I had no idea the Royal Gorge was made and thought up in Texas, owned by Clint Murchison. I would never have thought about that. I mean, he bought it sight unseen because he wanted to own it. I mean, I would have went and looked at it. I wouldn't have went across, but I'd have went to the side.
Yeah.
And looked at him. You know, and admired it and thought how beautiful it was, and told my family, come, let's look at it together. Look what I have purchased. Look what I own.
But he never saw it, never went across it, never just managed it from Dallas.
He just owned it and set up a bridge company to run it, and then his two sons owned it for a long time, and then John. When he died, he passed it on to his wife, and she loved it. Went there many times just to admire it. I mean, you know, but then the grandchildren, you know how that is.
Yeah, oh,
they
yeah.
didn't care for the bridge, didn't care that it should have stayed in Texas hands, and they sold it off to people in Colorado.
Jeez. They saw some dollar signs and took advantage of it.
And if you haven't, most people have never seen the Royal Gorge Bridge, and they should go see it, or at least look it up and see what it looks like. And you'll be impressed.
I mean, I'm sure it's intimidating.
It is an impressive high bridge.
Yeah. Wow. I have this thing about heights anyway, and so bridges generally I find them very intimidating, but I could imagine
the ones in Texas are intimidating enough.
Yeah.
Without going to the Royal Gorge, 1,000 feet straight up.
Wow, and I can't even imagine ziplining.
Oh yeah, some idiot puts in a zipline and says, "Well, this really isn't high enough. Let's put a zipline in where you can go even higher." You know? Oh my gosh.
Oh wow.
Oh my Lord.
Boy.
But you know, Texans are smart. In 27, who would have thought that you could build a bridge over the Royal Gorge? I mean, how? I can't even imagine him going out there, seeing it, viewing it, and said, I'd love to build a bridge across there for people.
Yeah.
A scenic bridge. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I would get scared just walking across it.
Yeah.
You know, I would look down, and it'd be over. I'd be crawling back to the edge.
Somebody come
I
get me.
I probably would. I mean, I'd be going, oh, I'm a little dizzy here.
Yeah.
A little dizzy.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. But I think that's very interesting. It was owned by Clint Murchison, owner of the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, of course. I mean, if it's going to be big and it's going to be the best, it's got to be somebody from Texas. It's just fitting.
That's right. It's got to be built by Texans, owned by Texans. We don't know what he paid for it. I'd love to know what he bought it for.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, that'd be interesting to find out. Good.
And Lord. I don't even know how he found out from Piper that the bridge was there. And, you know, in 1947, he sold it to Clint. And, you know, and Clint just says, it's just an investment.
Never saw it.
Oh,
nothing.
My God.
Wow.
It's like owning the Dallas Cowboys, you know? I mean, he just wanted an investment.
Yeah. Didn't even go admire his work. Here's what I bought.
That's right.
Never saw it. Wow.
That's right. Never even saw it.
That's pretty cool.
But he
cool,
did
though.
Tell his family about it. He did tell them what he'd bought. And they, you know, obviously were excited about it. They liked it.
Yeah.
But he never went with them out there.
Well, I can say I don't know anybody that's ever bought a bridge and was able to brag about it. Look, family.
That's right. And tell the world what he'd done. It's a magnificent thing to behold.
It really is. Oh, wow. And something that massive, you know, that's not, hey, I bought a star in space or I bought a rock. You bought like the biggest massive bridge that there ever was in the universe. It's impressive. Really, really cool.
It is impressive.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3. 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Life settlements, I know we talk about how, you know, safe they are from, not safe, that's probably not the right word, how conservative they are and how they're independent from the stock market. And a few minutes ago, you were talking about, you know, annuities are great for elderly people. Do they have the same parameters as like the safety, as far as the safety aspect, the conservative aspect?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Annuities, I've got so many great things. When you put it in annuity, it can never go down. And for a senior, that's a good thing. It doesn't mess around. If you make a profit, it's locked in once a year. If you don't make a profit, it doesn't go down. It can never go backwards. That's what annuities are for, is that safety feature of your principal always being safe. It's guaranteed from the day you put it in till the day you take it out. So you can't have a loss on it. And that's why it's safer for a senior, because they don't have to pay attention to what it's doing. If it makes money, they put it in your account, it locks in, and you start over the next year. And that's the way they work.
They basically set it and forget it. They don't have to monitor. They don't have to be active.
No, you don't have to monitor it. You get a statement once a year, and that statement will tell you what you made, how much you've made year to date. Previous years, it'll tell you that. You can take 10% a year out. Nobody can mess with your account. There's not any brokers involved. There's no one that can come in and say, you know, I think I'll do this to your account. They cannot do it. You have to do everything on the account. And lots of times they'll call me and say, Faye, how do I change it this year? And I'll say, these are my recommendations. And then they have to go to the sheet and put it on there and sign it.
Okay.
It's all up to them. Nobody can mess with it. When they make the money, it's theirs, and it'll show up in their statement, and they're dealing direct with a life insurance company, a huge life insurance company. That's why annuities have been around 150 years, and that's why they're always recommended as long as they're fixed or fixed index, they can never go down. The ones at the brokerage house are different. You need to remember that. Those can go down. Those have mutual funds in them. These never have mutual funds.
So the bottom line, I guess, is an annuity is controlled by the investor, not by a broker someplace
else. That's
right. Okay.
It's controlled by the owner only. The owner has the annuity at their home, in their safe, or at their business, and everything to do with that is done by you.
All right.
And nobody can come in and mess with it. It's not like if you have a brokerage account, somebody can mess with it. They have 100% access to your money. Nobody has access to your money if it's in an annuity.
You have a lot of people that will invest as a family unit, I think, from what you've said, like in the past, from what I remember, there's a lot of people that will come in and they'll maybe start with something, whether it's an annuity or a life settlement or whatever it is, you know, and then they'll kind of get their brother and sister involved, then, you know, their husband or wife, and then, you know, maybe a parent or a son or a child or something like that. And so it might be an opportunity, annuities might be an opportunity, correct me if I'm wrong, but it might be a good place for, you know, if you're sitting around and, you know, maybe a parent says, you know, geez, I really want to do something. I want to change some things. I want to, you know, get a little bit more active, maybe a little bit more aggressive. I'm not doing enough to grow my money. This might be a good option to bring to, you know, a brother, a sister, a parent, something like that.
It is. And the other thing is when you get older, you don't have to pay attention. It'll work for you whether you're paying attention or not. You know, as you get older, you don't have to be as sharp. And it's okay with an annuity. You don't have to be that sharp. When you start out with an annuity, you're sharp. You've got to be then. You've got to know what you're doing. And as long as you're sharp when you take it out, you'll be okay. And nobody, we never let anybody buy an annuity unless they are sharp. So, if they have memory problems, they cannot do it. So you've got to buy this while you're still in great shape. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't wait till you're fading fast. Annuity will work for you when you get older. Nobody, has to look after you. They won't have to worry because it'll take care of itself. Mm-hmm. And like life settlement, most of the people do life settlement. You know, our age limit is, you know, like people usually 65, something like that. Mm-hmm. We don't do seniors, as you know. We won't buy a senior policy even, because seniors are going to outlive everybody. They're going to outlive you and me and everybody else. And lots of times there's nothing wrong with them. So our investments, we take, we'll invest in a policy up to 76.
Okay.
And after that, we won't even invest in one, because we don't want to go through what we did on those old policies, where that they outlived everything, and it's cost us a lot of money.
Yeah, no doubt.
And then we're making a lot of money on the younger policies.
And sometimes we talk about the risks with a life settlement. What about with an annuity? Are there any main risks with an annuity that we should go over?
As long as you're with an A-rated company, with a company that's got a lot of money, everything should be fine. They've been around so long, and they're so conservative about the way they invest. That's what I love about annuities. I always hear good things about annuities. I've never really heard anything bad about an annuity. Different companies have different annuities. A lot of them are better than others. Some are not as good as others. And that's why we use the company we use. It's worth $60 billion. It's been in business 100 years.
Wow.
So they know what they're doing. Their reputation is above reproach. They're A and double A rated, and they're audited every year. That's another thing about annuities. You know, the annuity companies are audited every year. They go back, they check to make sure they have proper reserves, that they have a certain amount of cash on hand at all times. They look at their management. They look at everything about a life insurance company. So that's why it's a safe investment, as far as I'm concerned, because it's audited to every way from Sunday. They know how much money they've got at all times. They're restricted on what they can invest in. They have to invest in chips, blue chips, A-plus, all the way. So that's why you want to do business with an annuity company that's been around a long time. And 100 years qualifies them.
Yeah. So there's a number of safety features, checks and balance, guidelines, regulations, a lot of these things to keep people protected. So you don't just have rogue brokers doing whatever they want to.
No.
That's good to know.
And that's what makes them safe, is because they have so many restrictions. They have restrictions on when you invest. If they don't think you have enough money to pay your day-to-day bills, they won't let you buy an annuity. When you have to do a thumbnail sketch of their finances, and if it doesn't look good on there, they'll come back and say, is that all they have, or we think that their ratio to debt is too high. They look at all that. If they've got debt, they better have a lot of money to pay the debt. If it looks like they don't have enough money, they won't issue it.
Gotcha.
So okay. They're very careful about all of the finances working right. And they've been doing it a long time. And they don't want somebody to buy an annuity and next week they need the cash because they're broke.
Yeah.
You can't buy an annuity if you're broke.
Hmm. All right. So for people to come talk to you, get started, ask some more questions, maybe become a new investor, I assume you've got some availability this coming week to see people. Yes?
That's right. We encourage people to call. Make an appointment, talk to us about your assets, if you've got enough. We'll explain life settlements or annuities or whatever you're interested in. I would say make that appointment or send an email, ask questions. You know, we'll take any kind of question.
Okay. And one last time, Faye, for people to reach out and make an appointment, come talk to you, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com, and we did not tell them what risks there are.
Oh.
Do we have time?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. There's two risks with a life settlement. The biggest risk is it could go over and you could have to pay premiums. So always keep that in mind. The premiums are the key to it. And then the second risk is it is not liquid until it matures. So those two risks are part of a life settlement. And they're not a big risk, but you need to know everything in life has a risk.
You've been listening to Your Money with Fay Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Fay Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.